young believers who perhaps have stayed young too long, not growing, not being established, and realizing one example came by where somebody had a need in their life and their family, and they were actually watching a sitcom and getting counsel from a sitcom on how to work in their family off a television program. It's a believer, and I was touched by that and thinking how poor, how sad, how benighted believers are in our day. And it grieved me, to be honest. And I thought about Wednesday night, and I thought about, and I pray about this, not just preaching an individual message, but doing a series, a teaching series. And that really touched me. You know, the Bible says when the people got saved, they got baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And it grieves me when people do not take advantage of a Bible-believing church and come to Sunday school, come to Wednesday night and Sunday night as well as Sunday morning, and they get in their own reading, as Brother Bob prayed, of the Word of God, and really continue in it. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, or for real, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And of course, the truth is Jesus. He makes you free, and the word is about him. He's the living word, and you get to know him better. He said, ye search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. And so the word comes alive and you get to know Jesus Christ better as you follow his word, because his word expresses himself. And so I thought about this, and I thought about the theme of our church. The theme of this church overall is, or the motto of it, is building lives on solid foundations. Building lives on solid foundations. We used to have a deacon in our church, and he had another guy in our church, and they had a company called Solid Rock Construction. And I used to tell them, that's a good name, Solid Rock Construction. But as I look back on the business, it wasn't as solid as I thought it was, because things weren't as solid as they should have been in my view. And who am I? I'm just the pastor. But anyway, I'm just saying that that I look at these things, and I'm thinking tonight of the first basic message in a series called Building Lives on Solid Foundation. And I'm thinking about what the psalmist said about this whole thing. And this will be the text for tonight. In Psalm 11, verse 3, he said this. Psalm 11, if you have your King James Bible, Psalm 11, and verse 3, that's our text for tonight. And here's what it says there. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I think you'll agree with me that the foundations are being destroyed. What's the foundation of our Constitution? The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. And there was a time when Democrats and Republicans could agree on the Bill of Rights. Not anymore. Basically, the Democrat Party is the demon rat party. It's been taken over by devils. And if you don't believe that, then you're not awake. A lot of the Republican Party has also gone that way, but thank God there is a core that can build upon and that is at least finds its basis in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. And if the foundations, that's for our country. I think of what Pastor Ware, our previous pastor, used to say, Dr. Charles Ware. He talked about concentric circles of impact. How we can have, through our gospel and our Bible, concentric circles of impact. And he compared it to a stone being dropped in a pond. and you drop a stone in a pond, it impacts that water, and what happens? These concentric circles come out of it. Have you ever done that? You know what I'm saying? And they go, and they're and he said that's the way it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, it should impact your life. If it doesn't impact your life, you're not going to be able to export it. If Christ is not in you, the hope of glory, then he's not going to be in anybody else through you. And so first of all, it is the impact of the gospel of the Lord Jesus upon you personally. And then when it impacts your life, guess what? The people that live with you, it impacts. They see it. Your wife sees it, or your husband sees it, or your family sees it, your roommate. People that are around you, they see the difference. You cannot hide Jesus Christ. If it's real, it will impact those that live around you. And whether they accept it or not, it will impact them, and they will see it in your life. And then it impacts the church, the local church that you're part of. I see believers, and they're not making an impact in this church. And by the way, when you get saved, God wants you to get baptized, dunked under the water, showing you died with Christ to the old life, you're buried, and you're risen to a new life. And now you're in a new realm of grace, and God's power is working in your life. And that should impact the church, because it says in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were what? Added to them. They were members of the Jerusalem church. You say, well, I just can't find a perfect church. That's your problem. You're not perfect. You'd spoil it if you joined it. But God wants you to join in and make an impact. I used to have a guy years ago. He was a deacon in our church. And years ago, I called him God's bumblebee or God's butterfly. I don't know which he was. Big, tall guy. And this guy was here for some years, but he started going from church to church. Just, you know, it reminds me of musical chairs. You go around, the music plays, you stop the music, and then there's... I had one guy, he went to every church in the area, and then he came back here and went to another one twice. And I thought, boy, that guy's doing pretty good. He went back twice, and he's staying there. Of course, he went back twice here, and finally, then he started his own church. And the last I heard, that wasn't doing too well. But I'm just saying to you, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. You need to make an impact where you are. And the church will recognize God's hand on you. And if you're called of God, they'll send you out. I have people, they come to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. God doesn't send them out. And so they just go out and they say, I'm Pastor so-and-so. No, they're not. No more than Absalom was. Don't believe it. It's baloney. And I'm just saying tonight, I hope I'm filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. Jose prayed I would be. And I'm just saying, I'm seeking to say what God would have me to say. And speak for Jesus Christ on his behalf. And so there's the life, there's the impact on your faith. Then there's the impact on the church where you show up Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. What do I say to you kids in Revival Baptist Christian School? If you want to make an impact, you have to, number one, show up. Number two, work hard. Number three, live right. A.L. Williams, amen. Amen and amen. Yeah. And thank God for our kids that are showing up tonight. Praise God. Let's thank God for that. Amen. Showing up. Hey, who's going to show up? That's the one that's going to be a winner. I tell the kids, if you don't show up, work hard, and live right, what are you? A loser. Say that together. A loser. What are you? Come on, say it out loud. A loser. And if you show up, work hard, and live right, you're a what? Winner. Last I checked, the president said we're going to win and win and win. He's showing up. That's right. Donald Trump is showing up. He's showing up. But these fair weather patriots, they're not showing up for the country. And I'm saying to you, you want to make an impact, it starts with your life before God. Your private prayer life. Your private walk with God. It starts right there. It starts with personal revival. Like Charlie Ware said, boom, revival's here, I got it. If you don't got it, man, you need it. Amen? And then that'll impact your family. They'll see it in you. It'll impact them. And then it'll impact this church. This church will see you got the real deal. You're not perfect, but you got the real deal. They'll see it, beloved. And then this country will begin to feel the impact. This community, let's put it that way. First of all, this community will feel the impact. This community, and God knows this community needs it. We're in darkness. We're benighted. And so I'm doing this series on building lives on solid foundations. And if you're not doing any of the things that I just said, that's where you need to start. We're starting from the basics tonight. Say, what's the title of the message? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11:3. So the name of the message is, so what can you do if the foundations be destroyed? And here's a key verse for the foundation that you need to build on, and it's a basic message, but here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11. Paul writing, he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. By the way, I'm so thankful for the grace of God that's given unto me. I'm here. I'm a grace gift to the church. You say, what are you talking about? A pastor, teacher, and evangelist is an abiding gift to the church. The 12 apostles were the foundational gift to the church. Those 12, they were the foundational gift, built upon the apostles and then the prophets that came out of the apostles, and they together wrote the New Testament. That becomes the doctrinal foundation of a complete Bible. Thank God we have a complete Bible. But I'm saying these are leadership gifts, 12 apostles and the prophets that gave us the Bible. They're the leadership gifts that God's given to the church. And then the abiding gift of the evangelist who lays the foundation of the gospel and the founding of the church. And the pastor-teacher gift who builds on that foundation and builds and blesses it. And so I'm just saying I'm a gift to the church, not to the universal church, because it's the local church. That's where I have my ministry. I'm the pastor of this church. He's a pastor of the youth in this church. There's a specific calling there. And God leads us and guides us into that ministry that he has for us. Do you know what he has for you? Are you playing your part? And you should be by doing that. But I'm saying, according to the grace of God, he says, which is given unto me as a wise, get this, master builder. Now, what was he talking about? He was the apostle, the missionary that founded the church at Corinth. And he says, I've laid the foundation. I am a master builder, and I've done it by the grace of God. And he says, I've laid the foundation. That's the exact words he used. I've laid the foundation. And he says, another buildeth thereon. Now, he may have been referring to Apollos, because Apollos had a ministry there. But he says, another buildeth thereon. And then he says this, for other foundation can no man lay, listen very carefully, this is an important verse, kids listen up, it'll be there. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, than that is laid, it's already laid, it's already in place, which is what? Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is the foundation of my life. That Jesus Christ is the foundation of my faith. That Jesus Christ, because a lot of other things will give way and will fail you and they will disappoint you, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the intimacies of your problem, but I do know the problem solver. I do know the one whose back was laid bare and bloody and beaten, and he's the only one that can wash away our sin. He's the only one, you see, that we can build our life upon and not be disappointed. My wife, when she found me, she thought she found the greatest thing ever, the Apostle Paul. But she found out she was sorely wrong. Because, you see, she had to get a verse from God that said in the Psalms, he said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And on earth there's none I desire beside thee. And what the Lord was setting her up for, because she came up here following this guy, realizing that he has a perfect Savior, but he's not a perfect man. And I dare to say, and I know you wives wouldn't say it if you're faithful, but your man is far from perfect. He's got feet of clay. And but listen, the God-man doesn't. The God-man doesn't. And we profess him. We preach not Randy Bloom. I'm as crooked as a dog's hind leg. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so that's the one that needs to be given the preeminence, to be lifted up. And he said, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And he was lifted up on that cross. And he is lifted up through the preaching of the cross. Because it's through the cross of Jesus Christ that you can have peace with God. And so what can you do if the foundations be destroyed? Here's what I'll say tonight. Just for tonight, you can stand upon the only solid rock that has never been nor ever will be destroyed. You can stand upon the only solid rock that ever has been nor ever will be destroyed. So what can you do if the foundations be destroyed? That's the message. You can build upon Jesus Christ because he is the only foundation stone already laid by God for you. I already quoted it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Now it says here that this rock, Jesus Christ, we know from another scripture, it's the rock, Brother Joe, that was hewn out the mountain. And hewn out the mountain, you remember that well. Hewn out the mountain. We were there in pastor school then. Where is the stone that was hewn out the mountain and hewn out the mountain? And it was all about the King James Bible. It was funny. And people came down with different translations dressed up in NIV. And they were being beaten up by the crowd. It was funny. Where is the stone? And the last one, it was, and the soloist said, ah! He started singing. And there came the King James. And it was great. But I'm talking now about the living word, Jesus Christ. And he is the stone that was hewn out the mountain, and it says that he was hewn out the mountain without hands. Without hands. In other words, you know, you have to cut these big rocks and take them out if you're in a rock quarry like you've seen. But God just took Jesus Christ as a stone, and he laid him down, and he said he's the foundation. And you say, well, what if people don't stand on Jesus Christ as the foundation of their salvation? What if they don't stand on him? Then he's going to crush them. Then he'll come down and crush them. In fact, the Bible says he's going to come back and squash them like grapes. The Bible says when his wrath is kindled in the day of the Lord, it's going to be a fearful thing, and I can see it building up. He's slow to anger, beloved, but it's been 6,000 years building up. And it's coming to a climax. And so we better be sure, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can build on the one foundation, Jesus Christ, because he is, point number one, because he is the only foundation stone already laid by God for you. God laid that foundation for the world. And it says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 4, the apostle speaking. Now, this is the apostle John, another apostle. Apostle John, he's in heaven. It's in the future, even from our day. He's in heaven, and he's looking at a wicked world that is overrun by Satan. And he is looking for some man. It has to be a man, because God appointed this world to be ruled over by a man. Did you know that? A man, not a man, not a woman, a man. He's to be the king of the world. That was Adam. And by the way, that's some basic theology in our day. Amen. And John couldn't see anybody that could take the scroll of God's wrath that needed to be poured out to get rid of Satan's crowd and push them out of this world by fiery judgment. He couldn't find a man that would be qualified. And what did he do? He started bawling and crying. If you feel like bawling and crying tonight, I'll give you the answer that was given to John in Revelation. He says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." No man, in other words, including Adam, who was the first man and only man who had innocence and then lost it, and no man was found worthy to be the foundation rock to save all of us. Boy, I was there. I remember as a 17-year-old boy, I was having trouble in my family. I was having trouble in school. I was such a nice kid in sixth grade. I was a captain of the safeties in our public school. I was elected by the whole school to do that. They all liked me. But I got a harder heart as I went along, and I was struggling. And I remember I was picking fights. I literally was picking fights. And I remember I had bitterness in my heart, anger in my heart, and it wasn't good. And my mother and grandmother got together and said, "Let him go to grandma's house, work for his uncle, doing hard labor, and grandma will feed him." And I remember grandma would just talk to me about anything I was interested in. She knew I had a good brain. She had a wonderful brain, wonderful mind, my grandmother on my mom's side, amazing woman. And she would just talk to me. And I remember I was reading her mother's Bible that was in the bedroom where I was staying, and all I could see was the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And I knew for the first time, I'm definitely going to hell. There's no doubt about it. And I even prayed, "God, you know, how could I be saved? Save me." And I wasn't saved. I didn't know how to be saved. I mean, I knew about Jesus Christ, but I didn't see him as my friend. Then I saw him as, boy, he doesn't like me either. He sees I'm doing stuff wrong because I read the words of Jesus in the New Testament, and that was harder than the Old Testament, and it scared me. But my grandma told me when Jesus died on that cross, he ripped that veil between God and man and opened it up. Amen. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how the Spirit moves convincing men of sin, nor how he moves creating faith in him, but he did, and he created faith in Jesus Christ in my heart. And my grandma didn't even know what was going on. She didn't pray with me. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe without a preacher? My grandma was preaching it, and I believed. And I began to call upon the Lord after that. And that's a good sign you're saved, by the way. And so you know, I'm just saying that he's the one that'll wipe away tears. He's the one that will give you hope and laughter and encouragement, like Isaac gave laughter. He'll give you joy. But man, if you just find out all the bad stuff going on in this world, you don't see Jesus as the final problem solver, oh, I don't blame you for being discouraged. I'd be discouraged too. And I want to ask you, I told you my testimony, kids. Do you have a testimony of being saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? Are you sure, based on the Word of God, that you're saved? There's nothing more important than that. I know I'm preaching on the foundation tonight, and in a group like this, you say everybody's got to be saved. Well, Jesus had a group of 12. Was everybody saved in that group? No, one was not saved. One was not saved. He was close to Jesus, but he wasn't saved personally. Have you had a time and a place in your life where you personally believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then you need to know that that foundation is there for you, not just there for your parents, not just there for your Christian school teacher, not just there for a deacon or a pastor. It's there for you, but you must put your faith in Jesus personally. That means you're going to trust the one that died according to the Bible for the sins of the world, that was buried for 3 days and three nights, that after that rose again, never to die again, that you're trusting him to save you from death and from hell. And the Bible speaks about this in the Word of God, and it says these words, and I'll quote it, Romans 9:33. It says, as it is written, Romans 9:33. Listen up over there. It says in Romans 9:33, As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now you say, Pastor, what does it mean to be ashamed? Well, in terms of what we're preaching on, it means for you to stand on something and the foundation give out from under you. You're walking on something and the thing just caves in underneath you. Have you ever stepped onto something and it just kind of caved in? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. All right. It happens. And maybe it hasn't happened. It may happen. Hope not. But the Bible says that you believe on him as your Savior. You put your trust in Jesus. It's not going to give way under you and collapse under you. I remember I used to live over here on Providence Road, 1125 Providence Road. We painted that house red. And we lived over there at 1125 Providence Road. I bought it from the former pastor. That was our house. And had some money that came at a great time, and I was able to give the down payment. I believe that was from your grandmother passing. We were able to use grandmother's money to have a down payment, 10% or whatever. And boy, money was different back then. But anyway, we bought this big, beautiful house, great big house, and I painted it red later on. But anyway, it was right over there, 1125 Providence Road. I remember it must have been 1978, 1979, somewhere in there. I remember being over in the house there. I was just starting pastoring. And I heard about a guy that worked for J.D. White down over here on Kapaus, right around Kapaus, not too far from the Progressive Center where our church used to meet. And I remember that, and J.D. White, I believe our church then was in Wayne Avenue, but anyway, his wife was going to come to him to bring his lunch because he was a construction worker, and he worked, Brother Bob, with the heavy equipment, like the diggers like your dad has. And he was out there digging, you know, and working for J.D. White. But you know about Scranton, don't you? You know what's underneath Scranton, all these coal mines. And they dug out, and this used to be the coal capital of the world, you know, hard anthracite coal, wonderful coal. And they just dug and dug and dug in the 1930s and 20s. And boy, it was a miner's paradise. And they dug and dug and dug. But they were supposed to leave these columns of coal, hard coal, to make the ground have integrity. That means you wouldn't be ashamed if you stepped on the ground or built a house on the ground because it would hold up. But guess what they did? Does anybody know what they did? Raise your hand if you know what they did. Yeah, Brother Joe knows, Brother Tom knows, some of you older people know, a couple young people know. All right, well, we're going to teach you this. They took the coal, and they had run out of coal in Scranton, so they decided to dig in those big columns that they were supposed to leave and mine that coal. Oh, they said not all of it, but they were greedy and they kept getting more of it and more of it and getting money for it. And after they did all of that, and people built houses, stuff started caving in. And they call that mine subsidence. How many have ever heard of mine subsidence? And it just houses would, you'd have a house, and all of a sudden your house would go, cave in, you know, ruin the house. So this guy was over at J.D. White. I don't remember his name. His wife was going to bring him lunch. And when she got there, she got the story. He was digging, and all of a sudden, his huge shovel, power shovel and machine, went down 300-400 feet straight down to the ground and covered up. They could never get him out of there, never got the machine out of there. That became his grave. When his wife came, that's what she heard. That stuck out to me. And it got me to think about people that don't do what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:25. Matthew 7:25. He said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. By the way, I don't know when this is going to happen, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be long when the rains are going to descend. I do not believe we'll be out of here for the Great Tribulation. I don't believe the church will be out of here for the New World Order. I don't believe we'll be out of here for the beast and the Antichrist. I believe you'll have to face them. It'll be the final exam. And it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. That house represents your life. It represents who you marry. It represents the job you have. It represents the money you make. It represents your life. And it says, it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I think a little Peter, he was a little stone, Petros, little stone, but he confessed a big rock, Petra, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And remember Peter, he fell, yeah, he fell, but he got back up, and the Bible said, he said, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter. That would be a laugh. He said, I'm building it upon myself, the rock. He's our rock. But so many Catholics all across our valley, their rock is the Pope, who came from Peter. And they're going to hell with that belief. They'll be ashamed. And any of you here that put your faith in your parents, you'll not make it. I remember a kid came from this church. He went to camp. And he was at camp all week. And at that time, the camp was a different camp we go to now, but it was a King James Bible, great camp. And the preacher was preaching. He had, I think, number one baptisms in Pennsylvania for a year. We were trying to get him, but anyway, he was preaching, and he said, you kids that are here, he said, some of you think that you're going to heaven because your mom told you, or your dad told you. Yeah, you're going to heaven when you were 4 years old. You trusted the Lord. Your mom can't send you to heaven. They can tell you about Jesus, like my grandma did, but you got to come to Jesus yourself. If you haven't come to Jesus to put your faith in, you know, some kids put their faith that, oh, I go to a certain Christian school, and you try to hold up your RBCS diploma when you die, and it won't work. It won't get you in. And I've had many kids that have gone to RBCS, and they're going to hell. And they've heard messages like this. You have to yourself have the right foundation. Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. You need to have only Christ as the solid rock of your foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can you do? Build on Christ, the solid rock, because he's the only foundation stone that's already been laid for you. And number two and last, because he is the only foundation that will never fail you. Don't get worried. I am ending it right here. He is the only foundation that will never fail you. He's already been laid for you. God's given you that opportunity to trust him. And the Lord doesn't want to make it hard. He wants to make it simple. It's God's simple plan of salvation. So that you will trust him. And if you trust him, you will find out that he will never, ever fail you. I have failed him many times. But he's never failed me. I've prayed to him many times, and when I pray in Jesus' name, he never fails to answer that prayer. He may answer it yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he answers it, but a different way than I expected. But he never fails me. One day I will see him face to face. One day I will see him. Now we just see him through a glass darkly, but then we'll see him face to face. But I wonder, have you trusted him? Are you getting to know him every day in the Word of God? I wonder. It grieves me that people that claim to be saved, that they don't continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Because you see, the stuff I'm going to be hopefully teaching on are things that you need to build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. His words, and he speaks of his words, and he said, his words, if you look at Matthew 7, not only himself is the rock, but his words are the rock. So here's the foundations, plural. Psalm 11:3, two foundations. One is the living word, Jesus Christ. He's a person. The other is the written word, the King James Bible. These two are your foundations. And he's exalted his word above his name, because without his word, you can't trust him. Without his word, you can't know him. And so he's the only foundation stone already laid. And because he's the only foundation that will never fail you, you will find people will fail you. You'll find life will fail you, but not Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about Jesus Christ. I